Godlikeness. St. Paul writes, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. To attain peace and holiness is to recognize the divine presence and allness. Jesus said, I am the way. Kindle the watchfires of unselfed love, and they throw a light upon the uncomplaining agony in the life of our Lord. They open the enigmatical seals of the angel, standing in the sun, a glorious spiritual idea of the ever-present God, in whom there is no darkness, but all is light, and man's immortal being. The meek might, sublime patience, wonderful works, and opening not his mouth in self-defense against false witnesses, express the life of godlikeness. Fasting, feasting, or penance, merely outside forms of religion, fail to elucidate Christianity. They reach not the heart, nor renovate it. They never destroy one iota of hypocrisy, pride, self-will, envy, or hate. The mere form of godliness, coupled with selfishness, worldliness, hatred, and lust, are nails tolling the burial of Christ. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. He knew that obedience is the test of love, that one gladly obeys when obedience gives him happiness. Selfishly or otherwise, all are ready to seek and obey what they love. When mortals learn to love aright, when they learn that man's highest happiness, that which has most of heaven in it, is in blessing others and self-immolation, they will obey both the old and the new commandment and receive the reward of obedience. Many sleep who should keep themselves awake and waken the world. Earth's actors change earth's scenes, and the curtain of human life should be lifted on reality, on that which outweighs time, on duty done and life perfected, wherein joy is real and fadeless. Who of the world's lovers ever found her true? It is wise to be willing to wait on God and to be wiser than serpents, to hate no man, to love one's enemies, and to square accounts with each passing hour. Then thy gain outlives the sun, for the sun shines but to show man the beauty of holiness and the wealth of love. Happiness consists in being and in doing good. Only what God gives and what we give ourselves and others through his tenure confers happiness. Conscious worth satisfies the hungry heart, and nothing else can. Consult thy everyday life. Take its answer as to thy aims, motives, fondest purposes, and this oracle of years will put to flight all care for the world's soft flattery or its frown. Patience and resignation are the pillars of peace that, like the sun beneath the horizon, cheer the heart susceptible of light with promised joy. Be faithful at the temple gate of conscience, wakefully guarded. Then thou wilt know when the thief cometh. The constant spectacle of sin thrust upon the pure sense of the Immaculate Jesus made him a man of sorrows. He lived when mortals looked ignorantly, as now, on the might of divine power manifested through man, only to mock, wonder, and perish. Sad to say, the cowardice and self-seeking of his disciples held crowned with thorns the life of him who broke not the bruised reed and quenched not the smoking flax, who caused not the feeble to fall, nor spared through false pity the consuming tares. Jesus was compassionate, true, faithful to rebuke, ready to forgive. He said, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Love one another as I have loved you. No estrangement, no emulation, no deceit enters into the heart that loves as Jesus loved. It is a false sense of love that, like the summer brook, soon gets dry. Jesus laid down his life for mankind. What more could he do? Beloved, how much of what he did are we doing? Yet he said, "The works that I do shall he do." When this prophecy of the great teacher is fulfilled, we shall have more effective healers and less theorizing. Faith without proof loses its life, and it should be buried. The ignoble conduct of his disciples towards their master, showing their unfitness to follow him, ended in the downfall of genuine Christianity about the year 325, and the violent death of all his disciples, save one. The nature of Jesus made him keenly alive to the injustice, ingratitude, treachery, and brutality that he received. Yet behold his love. So soon as he burst the bonds of the tomb, he hastened to console his unfaithful followers and to disarm their fears. Again, true to his divine nature, he rebuked them on the eve of his ascension, called one a fool, then lifting up his hands and blessing them, he rose from earth to heaven. The Christian Scientist cherishes no resentment. He knows that that would harm him more than all the malice of his foes. Brethren, even as Jesus forgave, forgive thou. I say it with joy. No person can commit an offense against me that I cannot forgive. Meekness is the armor of a Christian, his shield and his buckler. He entertains angels who listen to the lispings of repentance seen in a tear, happier than the conqueror of a world. To the burdened and weary, Jesus said, "Come unto me, O glorious hope, there remaineth a rest for the righteous, a rest in Christ, a peace in love." The thought of it stills complaint. The heaving surf of life's troubled sea foams itself away, and underneath is a deep settled calm. All its pleasures, its ties and its treasures, taken away from you? It is divine love that doeth it, and saith, "Ye have need of all these things." A danger besets thy path. A spiritual behest in reversion awaits you. The great master triumphed in furnace fires. Then Christian Scientists, trust and trusting, you will find divine science glorifies the cross and crowns the association with our Savior in his life of love. There is no redundant drop in the cup that our Father permits us. Christ walketh over the wave, on the ocean of events, mounting the billow of going down into the deep. The voice of him who still the tempest saith, "It is I, be not afraid." Thus he bringeth us into the desired haven, the kingdom of spirit, and the hues of heaven, tipping the dawn of everlasting day, joyfully whisper, "No drunkards within, no sorrow, no pain, and the glory of earth's woes is risen upon you, rewarding, satisfying, glorifying thy unfaltering faith and good works with the fullness of divine love." 'Twas God who gave that word of might, which swelled creation's lay. "Let there be light," and there was light, that swept the clouds away. 'Twas love whose finger traced aloud a bow of promise on the cloud. Beloved brethren, are you ready to join me in this proposition, namely in 1902, to begin omitting our annual gathering at Pleasant View, thus breaking any seeming connection between the sacrament in our church and a pilgrimage to Concord? I shall be the loser by this change, for it gives me great joy to look into the faces of my dear church members. But in this, as all else, I can bear the cross while gratefully appreciating the privilege of meeting you all occasionally in the metropolis of my native state, whose good people welcome Christian Scientists.